Help is going to take care of the rest of the service. Let me see. I got to put my reading glasses on. See if I can read a little bit. But it's kind of got waves in it. This is going to drive me crazy up here. I will wear the hat, though. Okay. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that you would talk to us today about who we are and who you have made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about you and me today. I've always wanted to live life the way I want to be. But more than that, I always wanted to live life the way God wants me to be. So there is a me that I want to be. How about you? Is there a you that you want to be? I think it is fun to have fun in church. I like to have fun in church. There's a dual reason for having fun today, doing dress up for Halloween. One reason is just the fun of doing it. The other reason is because there's a message behind the mask. I grew up in a time and place which preached and taught that Christianity was not expected to be much fun. The minister was expected to be a father figure with a stiff upper lip. He was to be prim and proper and never succumbing to worldly delights or worldly pleasure. And I won't even mention how his wife was to act. Hey, Dolores. Well, I'm old enough to be a father figure or a grandfather figure for that matter, but the rest of it doesn't fit me very well. Never has, actually. Anyway, the church has painted a picture of religion as a sterile, cold, coat and tie type of affair, or at least a very religious affair, in which we were expected to always think kind thoughts and quote scripture and use the word love at every opportunity. We weren't expected to have much fun on this side of the grave. We were to be grave before the grave, you might say. I found that religious legalism, I have fought it for 45 years. I have found a few people over the years who still want to that kind of stiff religious thinking to be in the pulpit and the pew, you might say. But sometimes they come to this church because, well, they like what I have to say. But they don't like who I am. And then they leave. And it's usually because of nonsense like we're about today. In reality, there is a me that I want to be. Life is not about any particular achievement or experience. The most important task of your life is not what you do, but what you become. There is a me that God wants me to be. And ironically, becoming this person will never happen if your primary focus is always on yourself. By the way, God made us to be fruitful and to flourish. His main goal is not to make you happy. His main goal is for you to be fruitful and flourish and bring blessing to others. Your life is not your project. Your life is God's project. God thought you up. He knows what you were intended to be. He has many good works for you to do, but they're not the kind of to-do list that you might get from your spouse or an employer. Your spiritual life is not limited to certain devotional activities that you engage in. It is receiving power from the Holy Spirit to become the person that God had in mind when He created you. If you let God guide you, you will change. But you will always be you. You know, an acorn can grow into an oak tree, but it cannot become a rose bush. That acorn can be a healthy oak, or it can be a stunted oak, but it will never be a shrub. You will always be you. A growing, healthy you, or a you that is languishing and lost and without strength. God did not create you to be somebody else. He pre-wired you with certain natural gifts and talents, passions and desires, and your body and your mind. Some people think that if we seek to grow spiritually, they will have to become somebody else. God does not discard your life. He redirects it. Here's the good news. When you get filled with God's presence, you become more of you, which is the person God had in mind in the first place. You don't just get holier, by the way. You become a new creation, but it doesn't mean that you're completely different. God redeems you through Jesus, but he doesn't exchange you for somebody else. In some ways, if you think about it, it's kind of humbling. We don't get to create ourselves. God created us as we are. And inside of us, there's this battle between a sinful self and a forgiven self. Sometimes we pretend to be somebody else, kind of like today. We pretend to be somebody else. God designed you to be you. When your life is over, God will not ask you why you weren't like Moses or David or Ruth or Esther or even Jack Pitzer for that matter. If you don't seek the life that God wants you to live, he may ask you, no, he will ask you, why weren't you you? Why weren't you you? But we pretend a lot to be someone we're not. This new lieutenant wanted to impress the first grunt private to enter his new office, so he pretended to be on the phone with a general so that the private would know that he was somebody. Yes, sir, general, you can count on me. And he slammed the phone down on the desk, and he said, then he asked the private, he said, what do you want? He said, I'm here to connect your phone, sir. Pretending to be someone we're not is hard work. It really is. It's hard work to pretend to be somebody else, which is why we feel tired maybe after a first date or maybe a job interview. Or when we're around people, we want to give a certain impression to them, and so we pretend. It's hard work to put on that front. We're drawn to people, though, who allow us to be real so that we can just be ourselves and stop pretending. For me, it's a relief not to have to pray more or know more about the Bible or act more humble than I really am around certain people. You know, it's good to have people you don't have to pretend with. Just so you know, there's a real boy standing up here. And even though I've been doing this pastor role a long time, it is really less stressful when I don't have to pretend around some of the people with. Because some of you have really lowered your expectations on me. And that's good, because then I don't have to pretend. But I don't have to pretend around some of you. We never have to pretend with God, though. But we do. If any of us are going to become the real person that God wants us to be, and we want to be, actually, we have to be honest about the me that I am. One of the things that kills spiritual growth in people is comparison. Christianity is not a competition, folks. It isn't a competition. People are very different. We are very different as a congregation. Some of us love to be alone and be in prayer, and some of us can't sit still long enough to meditate on anything. I had an associate pastor down in Kentucky that could sit with a family during surgery for hours, and he was very pastoral. I am not like that. I mean, I can't even sit still long enough if it's a family member who's having surgery. When Berta had her ablation a couple of years ago, God, I was fit to be tied in that waiting room. Oh, come on, let's get. I'm just not a person who can sit still and be holy, or for that matter, just be quiet. When God talks to me, he doesn't stay, be still and know that I am God. He says, sit down and shut up, I'm talking to you. But we pretend, don't we? We pretend. Henry Nouwen wrote, he said, spiritual greatness has nothing to do with being greater than others. It has everything to do with being as great as each of us can be. But we pretend. We pretend to be somebody else other than who we are. The reason is we don't think enough of ourselves. We're not good enough. We're not smart enough. We're not mature enough, pretty enough, rich enough, young enough, or old enough, or popular enough, or whatever. So we pretend. Isn't it nice to be around somebody you don't have to pretend with? What we really need to do is die to self. We need to die to an illusion of misplaced pride and ego and or neediness. It is the me that I thought I was supposed to be, but I'm not. You know, Jesus talked a lot about dying to self. Read with me Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. Here we go. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life?" You know, a lot of times we interpret that like you're living a worldly life or whatever, and you're going after the greed things of this world. But I don't always want to read it like that. Of course, there is everybody else who wants me to be someone they create in their mind. This is another reason we pretend. Everyone in your life wants you to change. Your boss wants you to be more productive. Your credit card company wants you to be more in debt. Your cable company wants you to watch more television. Your phone company wants you to have more stuff on your phone. Restaurants want us to eat more food. Your church wants you to be more active or more regular. And I'm not even going to go into what your spouse or your kids or your parents or your family want you to be. Everybody has an agenda for you. There is a me you want me to be as your pastor. There is a me you want me to be as your pastor. You know, if I spend my life trying to become that me, I will never be me. Now, I can pretend to be that person, but I will never be able to just be myself. If that's the case, then I will always be pretending, and you pretend around me too, by the way. Did you know that? Oh, I know that. Some of you pretend to be nicer than you really are, or more spiritual than you really are. Being real is what God wants us to be. Loving people means being willing to disappoint them sometimes, too. You know, Jesus loved everyone, but at some point he disappointed everyone. If you or I live to be what others want us to be, then we become hollow people. Our lives become a shell of what others want from us. And we no longer know who we are because we're always pretending. But the truth is, no one else in your life gets the final word on who God made you to be. But you and God. The second great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. To love someone really is to desire and work toward their becoming the best version of themselves. Not your version of them, but God's version. The one person in all the universe who can do this perfectly for you or the ones that you love is God. He has no other agenda. You know, God has no unmet needs he is hoping that you can help him with. He knows what the best version of you really looks like. Another reason we pretend, but we do, we pretend, and wear masks is we are afraid of the person God wants us to be. Some of us are just chicken. We say, God, if he gets a hold of me, I won't be me. We have this idea of how God wants us to be, and it scares the heaven out of us to possibly be changed into that kind of person. The number one challenge is teaching people not to equate spiritual maturity with following rules. If you think God's goal is to produce rule followers, spiritual growth will always be an obligation rather than a desire. The letter of the law kills. Rule keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith. Rule keeping. Desire smothering, Bible reading, emotion controlling, self-righteous living is not the me I want to be. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. There is an enormous difference between following rules and following Jesus. Because I can follow rules without having a loving heart. Read with me John 10:10. Here we go. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came that we might have abundant life. But so often, you know what we do? We try to out-God God. You know what life really is? Have you ever really thought about it? I feel sometimes like maybe I'll be Morgan Freeman up here in through the wormhole. What is life? Now, we all feel that we know what life is when we see it, but life turns out to be surprisingly tricky at times to really get a definition for it. So let me give you a simple definition. Life is the inner power to make something happen. Throw a rock, and it soon falls to the ground, and it stops moving. Put a seed in the ground, and something happens. It puts forth a root. It begins to take in nourishment. It grows to be fruitful and reproduce itself. To be spiritually alive means to receive power from God to make something happen. It might be beating a temptation. It might be serving God in a special way. I don't know, but it's receiving the power from God to make something happen. Put down spiritual roots. Take in spiritual nourishment so you can be fruitful, so you can have a positive impact on your world. Jesus did not say, I came that you might follow the rules. But I know churches and people who think that's what he said. I came that you might follow the rules. There is an inner you that is being shaped all the time by what you see and read and hear and think and do, in the same way that your body is being shaped by what you eat or drink or how you sleep or how you exercise and live. Spiritual formation is the process by which your inner self, your character, gets shaped. People sometimes think that our spiritual lives are an optional activity that people like monks or pastors do, and I don't need to do it. But that really isn't true. Everybody here has a spirit and a soul in them. You have a spirit. You have a soul. Every one of us. Everyone's inner life is being formed, for better or worse, all the time. There's a condition that doctors describe as failure to thrive. It actually happens to people of all ages. Psychologists have begun to speak of it as the largest health problem that we have in our day. It is a condition of someone who may be able to function but has lost the sense of hope and meaning in life. It is not just, it's not just mental illness. It is the absence of mental and emotional life, vitality. Now, I've heard of this in infants. They'll say a child has a failure to thrive. But, you know, I've seen it in elderly people on a regular basis. It can happen to people at any age. Failure to thrive. I've seen it in marriages. I've seen it in people in dead-end jobs. In ancient times, it was called acedia, weariness of soul and inability to delight in life. It's echoed in the last words of Winston Churchill on his deathbed when he says, "Oh, I am so bored with it all." And Groucho Marx, when he said, "This is no way to live." When we give up on growth and life's purpose, we languish. God showed the prophet Ezekiel a vision of a valley full of dry bones, and it was the picture of a failure to thrive. God asked Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel answered me. He said, "You alone know, God." And God did know, and he made them come alive. You know, God wants us to grow. He wants you to be all that you can be. It's not just the Marines or the Army or whoever said that. He wants you to be all that you can be. He wants you to thrive as a person, but your life is never just about you. Your living in abundance is so that you can be part of His redemptive project in ways that you otherwise couldn't be. He wants you to flourish so that people around you can be encouraged and grow as well. When we fail to be the me that God wants me to be, the people around us miss out on the gift that we were made to give. Jesus once said that with God, all things are possible. And the great thing about life with God is that your next step is always possible. That step towards God is always waiting. No matter what you've done or how you've messed up your life, there is always a next step. When Bob Hope was on his deathbed, his wife asked him where he wanted to be buried. And he says, "Oh, surprise me." I can picture Jesus at the wedding feast, and he sees this young woman over there, and she's sitting in the corner. She's all kind of downcast, and he whispers through his hands to this lovely woman slumped in the corner, feeling left out of the fun of life. He said, "Hey, I came here to bring you life and more abundantly. It's all right. Your Christianity can be fun." So I propose a toast. On behalf of the bridegroom at the party, here's to the me that God wants me to be. It's not vodka. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be the me that you want each of us to be. Help us not to pretend to be something we're not. Help us to rest in what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.